It is good to take this time in worship. Could you open your Bibles, please, as we now enter into God's Word? We're going to be hearing from God's Word in two verses. So you'll need your Bibles not only for now, but also later. If you don't have your Bibles, you can turn to the pew Bibles in front of you. The first verse I'm going to read from today is just Jeremiah 32, verse 17, and then Mark 10, verse 27 to start. Jeremiah 32, verse 17, hear the word of the Lord. Because this word is powerful, and the truth in this word will bless you, I pray. For in this one verse, we hear these words, ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is too hard for you. I don't know what part of that verse you love the most, but let me read it again. Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. And then into the New Testament, this incredible truth about God's character continues, because in Mark 10, verse 27, maybe you can turn me down a bit. I always get a little excited anyways, and it gets louder on its own. Mark 10, verse 27 says, and this is the words of Jesus, Mark 10, verse 27, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. All things are possible with God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Keep your Bibles close by. So I remembered what I needed to share earlier. Can you believe it? It wasn't a thing, it was a person. That was Jason Stillman. Our brother Jason Stillman and Kelly and the girls are in Norwood. Jason has had the opportunity to preach at this church, Norwood Presbyterian Church. So I wondered if we could just pray for our brother who's about to preach as well, and that God would use him mightily in this place. And then the other thing was, you know, there's only a couple more weeks left of Busy Bees. I didn't know if any of the workers would be like, hooray! But maybe you're not ready for that yet. You're not ready for it to end. But if we could also just take this time to pray for the Busy Bee workers as they kind of enter into this last season. It's the final stretch, folks. One of the things I often pray for with this incredible ministry is this specific thing, is that somebody would go to the Busy Bees looking for a spatula, and instead they would find Jesus. Will you pray with that for me? Who knows how God can make that possible? We've just read about it. And God is using many salt and light workers over there to just, for them to meet Jesus through them, of course. But through those conversations, through those encounters, that something like that would happen. That's our prayer. You never know. Praise God. And perhaps somebody is here today because that's what happened. Love to meet you after the service for a coffee. Now, as we look into God's word this morning, I wanted to begin just by having you kind of think of some of those epic moments in your life. Because, you know, life mostly consists of ordinary days. But there are days and times that are epic and unforgettable. What might those unforgettable moments be like? Well, I'm sure for George and Cassandra, it was their wedding last weekend, right? Or the birth of a child. We got the baby upstairs today. Great to see the family with baby Weston. What is it for you? Perhaps it was one of those. Perhaps it was something else. Perhaps it was your baptism, the day you came to know Jesus. I pray that is like at the top, your salvation. Perhaps it was a move into a new home. Remember those epic, unforgettable moments, those promotions at work, change of location. I could go on, but some days, right? Some days are etched forever in our memories. What a day that was. Now, after 40 years in the desert, Israel was about to have a memorable day. They're about to arrive in the promised land. If you know your Israelite history, this, and I hope you do, if you don't, you'll learn it today. What I'd like us to visit this morning in the Word of God is the day that the Israelites were led across the Jordan River and into the Promised Land. What a day. That was an unforgettable day because God moved in power. What God did, no man could do. What happened, you could only be explained by the powerful hand of God. And so they were about to have a very epic day. Now, just to give you a bit of a background, two spies were sent by Joshua into Jericho. Scout out the land. What are the people thinking? What are they saying? And so these two spies had just returned from Jericho. They had followed Joshua's orders to check out the land and the city of Jericho, which was not far from the Jordan River. And they had escaped discovery with whose help? Rahab's help, if you know your Bible trivia. Rahab, this individual in Jericho, had hid them, these spies, from the Jericho soldiers and had let them escape. And now they're giving their report to General Joshua. Their hearts were bursting with joy as they said these words to Joshua. In Joshua 2:24, "The Lord has handed over the entire land to us. Everyone who lives in the land is also panicking because of us." So if you're Joshua and you're his leadership team and you hear this report, you're also bursting with joy as well. Okay? The Lord has given us Jericho. The Lord has given to us the promised land. All we need to do is walk in and claim it and receive it and get it. So this was the news Joshua had been waiting for, and immediately he dispatched runners throughout the vast camp of Israel, announcing that first thing the next morning, the whole nation of Israel would break camp and pitch their tents on the banks of the Jordan River, preparing to cross it. They would finally come to the entry point to the promised land after 40 long years in the wilderness. Now, Joshua 1 verse 3 records the event. So you'll need your Bibles open to Joshua, the book of Joshua in the Old Testament, to follow along here. And Joshua chapter 1 verse 3, it records all the events that Joshua started early the next morning. Joshua left the acacia grove with all the Israelites, and we're talking not hundreds, but hundreds of thousands of men, women, children, elderly, all their belongings. Packed up tents, cattle, you name it. There they go. They're heading towards the Jordan River. They went as far as the Jordan and stayed there before crossing. Now, let me pick it up in Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. Follow along in your Bibles or just listen. "In the early morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people, 'When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the Ark. Do not go near it.' Joshua told the people, 'Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you.' Joshua said to the priests, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people.' So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, 'Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river.'" Don't forget that part right there. Go and stand in the river. "Joshua said to the Israelites, 'Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites and the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. As soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap.' So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now, verse 15, the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of Araba was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Verse 17, the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And so here we have this incredible miracle, and one of the many in the entire scriptures, revealing to us the power of God miraculously providing for his people. So here we have this miracle. And I'm sure the buzz throughout the tribe was the same as the word got around that now was the time to cross the river. This is the day. We will stand in the brink of a dream. We will come again to the place where our forefathers blew it. Only this time we will obey and we will be faithful to the Lord. But as they approached the famous river that formed a barrier between them and their longed-for real estate, the promised land to the nation of Israel, what they saw by light of day was both dreadful and confusing, discouraging, disheartening. It was not what they expected, because what did they see as they approached the Jordan River? They saw a river at flood stage. So you just have to picture in your minds any river at flood stage. Even if you live or have lived on the Trent River at flood stage, it is uncrossable. It's a barrier. It's impossible. The Jordan was definitely not crossable. So this is what they have to deal with now. Each one of them, not just Joshua and the leadership team, but the nation itself. What is this? There's a simple sentence in verse 15 that gives us the picture that I read earlier. It just said very, very clearly that the river was at flood stage all during harvest. And so this gentle Jordan was now a raging river, swelled to flood stage. Just think of currents that can reach up to 40 miles an hour when the Jordan River is flooded. So impossible. So here's the scene. The Jordan has swelled its banks. It's spreading about a mile across, ranging in probably depth from 3 feet to 12 feet, all covering thick undergrowth that could easily trip someone up and cast them into an overwhelming current. So this was the sight that the great multitude of hundreds of thousands that pitched a tent along the river saw and observed. And the Bible tells us that they spent 3 days right there watching the passing torrent, eroding all their confidence, maybe some seeds of doubt. The waiting, pounding reality into every Israelite. Is this really going to happen? You could hear the doubts over the night fires. Maybe the strong among us can brave the floods, but how can we cross with infants? How would you cross that? With your cattle, with your belongings, with the aged, not to mention all of our possessions strapped to wagons. So an insistent no began to form in their hearts as they listened to the roar of the water. Okay, now, that's the scene before us. Now, it's easy for us to relate to the emotions and thoughts of Israel. How is that possible? What do you mean, Pastor Nate? Well, so many of us have faced our own Jordan rivers. True? Yes, I'm sure we have. And maybe you're not right now, but maybe one day you will. A trial that is so permanent and powerful, we don't even know how to make it across. So take a moment to think about how there are times in our lives where we also are stalled, stuck on the wrong side of God's promise. Here's just a few examples. Think about what it's like when perhaps you've lost your job, when someone loses their job, or their marriage is falling apart and they don't see any hope. They don't see an end in sight. This will never get better. Or when your kids are in rebellion and all you do is you pray and you grieve from a distance because you know what they're doing is outside of God's will, yet you're stuck. You don't know how will they ever stop. Or you have an addiction you can't break. That's a big one. That feeling of hopelessness. Every time you trip up again and you're like, that could be your Jordan this morning, your Jordan River. Too many bills you can't pay. Conflict in family where you know that you have loved ones or you yourself haven't talked to someone else in your family for not just months, years now. How about a loss of a loved one and that depth of grief, and you're like, how can I move forward in life now with this person not with me? So you get it? There are moments, and perhaps there's a different one that you're facing this morning, and that is your Jordan River. When you feel stalled and stuck on the wrong side of God's promises. But you know, this morning, there is hope. There is hope in God's word for you. There's always hope in God's presence for you. Because with God, he can turn a no way into a highway. Amen? Absolutely. I believe it. When confronted with an impossible task, when confronted with an overwhelming situation, when you're facing uncharted territory in your life, always remember, our impossibilities become God's opportunities. That is so true of God when you think of his word. That with man, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. Whatever that impossible thought or event or situation you're facing today, that's an opportunity for God to move powerfully in your life through that. So the great question, however, that loomed over the camp of Israel, that loomed over Joshua, its leader, and over our lives today is this: will we walk by faith or by sight? Do we really believe that God can handle the impossible? Will you truly step out in trust and obedience and follow the Lord's leading? I pray that you will. And let me tell you something right now. There are people that are watching whether you will or not. They could be your kids, grandkids, your neighbor. Will you step out and move forward with God leading you? He is leading you. It's just, will you follow? Joshua 3 goes on to tell us something that is echoed throughout Scripture, which I read earlier. That is, what is impossible with man is possible with God. So God was about to reveal the steps that must be taken in every life and in every church if we are to move from being grounded to grateful. The experience, the decisions reported in this chapter were a major breakthrough for Israel, and they're in the Scripture for us to apply to our lives as well. Because a whole new generation learned this day that victory depended totally on God. So God knows how to get you through it all. Just look, okay, at verses 2 to 4. What do we learn in verses 2 to 4? Joshua said, after 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp giving orders to the people. And this was the order: when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Follow it. So the first point I want to make for you this morning, this first step is follow the movements of God. Follow the movements of God. Because this is what the instructions God gave Joshua to relay onto his people were. When you saw the Ark of the Covenant being led by the priests towards the Jordan River, get up and follow it. But what did this command mean to the Israelites? And why did God care so much about a piece of furniture that he required that it go first? What is the big deal? Well, this was more than just a piece of furniture. This was the Ark of the Covenant, made of wood, formed in gold, and it represented the presence of God. And so where the presence of God went, they followed. And wherever the Israelites in the wilderness set up camp, I don't know if you know this, but at the center of every camp that they made, the presence of that camp was the Ark of the Covenant, representing the importance of having God at the center of their nation, of their lives, and for us as well, to take that personally. God at the center of our lives as well. But we get a clue as to what was also so important about the Ark of the Covenant and what was inside of it. 3 things listed behind me. There were the Ten Commandments, a bowl of manna, and Aaron's rod. And each of these could be its own sermon. But I want you to remember that the people of Israel knew what was in the Ark and the significance of the Ark of the Covenant. The stone tablets upon which the finger of God had written the Ten Commandments were inside the Ark of the Covenant. A sign to all of Israel of God's desire for us to know him and to be separate from the world. So you have God's word leading the way in the Ark of the Covenant. Boy, how important is that today in our own lives? That we are following the word and commands of God. Consider just how important the Ten Commandments were to the Israelites and to the believer and to believers in Jesus Christ today. The Ten Commandments are laws that God has revealed to us, and following God's laws, following God's word, gives guidance to his people and helps us and helps his people know how to serve God and how we should best live amongst each other. I can't say enough about how important the Word of God is in our lives. It helps us to be open to the grace of the Holy Spirit. And when what God can accomplish in your life and through us by that grace. So the one item in the Ark of the Covenant, the Ten Commandments, the second item was a pot of manna. A pot of manna, because in the wilderness, God provided manna for the nation of Israel when they were hungry. So what a reminder of God's grace, God's gracious provision during the 40 years in the wilderness. And the third item was Aaron's rod, a dead stick that miraculously grew leaves to confirm the power of God, the power of God that he could use anything that he willed to accomplish his will down to the smallest detail. So in the Ark of the Covenant, leading the way, you have these three historical reminders, three witnesses, really, when you think about it, each one a witness of God's love, his protection, God's presence and provision. And so the Ark was a monument of God's faithfulness to Israel. And Joshua is saying, when you see it picked up and moved forward by the priests, you follow. Break camp, you follow it. And so really, the Ark of the Covenant was the Old Testament equivalent to Emmanuel, God with us. And so when this chest led the way, it meant that God was out in front. He would, so to speak, take the first steps into Canaan, the promised land. Their task was to follow his lead, follow, pursue his presence, and to come after him. So in this first instruction, this first step, follow the movements of God, we can relate and we have this challenge ourselves. For me and for you, follow Christ's lead, pursue his presence, come after him. And so now picture the scene. All Israel is encamped on a sloping hill beside the Jordan River. The ark is positioned about 1,000 yards from them. Everyone in the nation would be able to see it. The priests would bear it by rods upon their shoulders as they walk towards the white water, the raging water of the Jordan River. And everybody would understand that point here, that God intended for Israel to cross the Jordan with him. But it could only be done if they focused on and followed his presence. So as we gaze ahead at our challenges, and my goodness, we do face many incredible challenges and struggles sometimes, it's easy to conclude that we can be stuck in the wilderness. However, follow the Lord's presence. When you're faced with the impossible, do what Peter did when he walked on the water. You fix your eyes on Jesus. The minute Peter took his eyes off Jesus and saw the raging sea around him, and he remembered that people can't walk on water, that's when he started to sink. That's when Peter started to sink. So we must all focus and follow the movements of our Lord so that where he leads, we will follow as individuals, as families, in our marriages, as a church. But the second thing that we are instructed, that Joshua instructed his people after saying, follow the movements of God, was consecrate ourselves. Let us consecrate ourselves. Verse 5, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. How important it is that we start with that every day, as we did earlier in our time of prayer. Joshua said, consecrate yourselves. And the word, the Hebrew word for consecrate, means to prepare or to dedicate, to be separate or set apart. And so God was telling the people, on the eve of one of the greatest days in the nation of Israel's history, Israel was commanded to be certain they were right with God. Just simply put, are you right with God? Joshua said that to the nation of Israel. And if you aren't right with God, you need to examine your life. You need to confess and forsake sin and devote yourselves wholly to the Lord. And if we have done this, there remains one more thing. But again, that point really speaks for itself, really. And if you're not sure if you're right with God, you need to pray, Lord, search me. Search my heart. Reveal if there is any wicked way, any sinful way in me that I am not dealing with, or I'm ignoring, or am I avoiding. And do not leave church this morning without having dealt with that. Consecrate yourselves. A new week is coming. Third point, step out and stand still in the last point. We see here in look at verses 7 to 8, the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of Israel, so they may know that I am with you, as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river." And then over to verse 13. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So the moment of truth comes. The priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant must step out. They must get their feet wet, step out into the floodwaters, and then stand still right there. So the command of God to step into the water called for them to get moving and to get their feet wet. And what we learn here is that faith sometimes will move you forward absolutely in God's way and in God's timing, and there will come a moment when you must act on what God has said, and if you don't, you'll never cross the Jordan River. So we see that important lesson lived out. These priests did as they were told. We will never ourselves cross the river, and they would not have crossed the river until the priests took that step of faith and obedience and stepped into that raging water. I'm sure it wasn't easy because it was still at flood stage, and they had to believe that God was going to do the impossible by taking that step. You know, our eyes and our hearts can be right on, folks, but if we don't move our feet to meet the challenges, we will never progress in God's work. If we must commit ourselves, we must commit our time and our energy, our lives to what God is doing, or it won't happen. That's why seeking God's will is so important each day as a disciple of Jesus Christ. But let me quickly add something else here. I want you to notice an element in their trust that is present in all true faith. Because after they stepped out, they stood still. Why? They were waiting on the power of God. Because they didn't know what God would do. Maybe somebody thought, oh, he's going to just dry up the river, but he could have done something completely different. But in all their activity, they maintained dependence. Their standing still testified to the fact that everything came from God. And they were acknowledging that it wasn't their work that changed anything. It was God and God alone. Once again, it all comes down to him. They stepped out, and that's what they did. They stood still. God did not dry up the river until the feet of the priests had stepped out into that river. And it was after they stepped and they believed God's word and took that step that then God did a miracle, a supernatural miracle. And he dried up the river before their very eyes. Now, there will be times God will call you and me to do something very different, very difficult, and maybe even odd. And it might even go against all the norms of this life. It won't make sense to you. It goes against the ways of the world. And it might even go against what your family and your friends think and feel. It's dangerous. Don't do it. Yet you must obey God's word and trust him. And as you step out, God can stop the raging waters. God can dry up that ground before you. Remember that God is always with you, and he will never leave you. And if he called you to step out into that raging river, whatever that Jordan you are facing today, there is a reason for it, and he will provide the way. Then someone, one by one, people in the nation of Israel, noticed that the water was receding from the feet of the priests. It was dropping fast, and soon enough, there was no river at all before them. The river dried up, and that thunder, the thunder that was once the raging river, was replaced by the thunder of God's people. Thousands of them moving in a great swarm across the Jordan River into the promised land. Well, I don't know about you, as we close, I long to see God do what only God can do. Is that your desire as well? Is that the desire of your heart? A Jordan stretches before us. The challenges are too much for us. We must believe that nothing is too difficult for him. We must focus our souls on Christ and follow him. We must, again, as Joshua said, cast out all sin and set ourselves apart to him. And we also, lastly, must be ready to move when he does his work. Always being mindful that if anything is going to last, it's from the Lord. Praise him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks today for this time of worship. Lord, as we just look towards a new week. We thank you for your presence and your word, that and how you, in your personal, powerful way, prepare us, how you equip us, and how you supply for us all that we need to do what you have called us to do. And for all of us, Lord, that is to faithfully follow you. That is to give our lives over to you. That is to accept Jesus as our Savior and Lord, for he alone is salvation. And apart from him, we can do nothing. Heavenly Father, as we began this service singing about our story and our song, praising you all the day long, we have so much to praise you for today. Lord, continue to use us, we pray, to shine as stars in this dark world so that through our lives people will know that, God, you are real, that you are all-powerful, and that you are changing lives, lives that are in surrender and have been given over to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.